Live from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper, you are Live from the Path.
Listening to Live from the Path. We're broadcasting here from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper. Who's that half a head on an ugly guy? Hey, fellas. Oh, there we go. It's important that everyone see me. I'm the draw. Hey, I tell you what. It's going to get hot in here, Dan Hudson.
It's already steaming up a little bit.
It's just something to be wary of. Hold on, quick count. Six. I got eight guys. Is that right? Three, six, seven, eight. I got eight guys in here. And it's going to be a dude odor.
It's a fairly small room.
Temperature fest.
Yeah. Okay. I'm actually doing pretty good. I'm right next to the door. Just smart. Rubbing everyone's faces.
I would be concerned that you don't know the difference. So here's the thing. Here's one of my concerns in life, right? Is I walk in. You ever had this? You walked into someone's house and there's like a distinct funk in there. It's just their house smells like that, right?
Everybody has their own smell.
Yeah, but they don't know that.
Yeah.
Because they're used to it.
Exactly.
And my biggest it's not my largest concern, but it's in the top 10, is that my nose has gotten used to some funk or another that is nasty, but I don't recognize it anymore. And so, like, I walk in and I don't notice any difference, but then someone else would walk in and be like, man, that's a funk in here. And Ben doesn't get it. Like, it says something about me that I don't smell it, and it's not a positive thing.
My wife does not like to have people over because she's, like, afraid of that.
I'm like, well. Yeah, there's a reason Trey and I don't have too many guests in our home. We're not too scared about it, but just in case, like, we ever think to ourselves, you know, do we really want to bring people over here? Do we really want people to know that this is where we live, this is how we live? Yeah, I'm going to pass. So that's kind of where we're at right now.
A lot of coffee shops.
Shoot. Now I'm interested to know. I feel like I'd like to know what this John Bovis funk is like. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to jar up your place.
I'm going to run through the basement,
and bring it
through
in
the upstairs,
here.
Through the living room and family room with a jar, a mason jar, and run right outside, put the lid on, and then I'm going to bring it here next week.
We will include that in our next Live from the Path Christmas scratch-a-scratch card.
The Boova Funk.
Well, maybe it'll be like a
the highest
deal
donation
Bed,
gets
Beyond,
the Boova Funk.
You know, it'd be Bed Bath & Beyond,
exactly.
Like a scented candle or
yeah.
something.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
De Boova. That just sounds wrong.
It happens, too. My wife doesn't like it when we go out for vacation, you come back, and like there's always that part right when you open the door where you're like, you're going to get a whiff of your own house funk.
Yeah.
And you're going to be like, oh, bummer. It smells
like
in
this.
Here.
You're no longer accustomed to it, so you're just going to get re-hit by it.
I spend my days in this.
Now that I think about this, I don't think I've ever gone on a vacation and come home and thought to myself, I got to smell me again. This isn't going to be good.
That means you're totally ingrained with it.
Maybe. That may be it.
One of my other fears is that like somehow I smell something. And I think everyone else smells it, but really it's caught just like the inside of my nose.
Oh, yeah.
Like the inside of my nose smells like a cellar or something. And I'm like, it always stinks in here.
but it doesn't smell.
It's two problems on opposite ends of the scale.
Hey, man, you smell
but both
that?
Plague me on a daily basis. Then it makes it very difficult to come up to someone and say, hey, man, you smell like a cellar. That's a bad thing to be wrong about, you know?
If you came up to me and said, hey, Boova, you smell like a cellar. I think I'd have you check your nostrils first, because I don't think I smell like a cellar.
Okay, maybe you're used to it. Maybe you do smell like
okay,
a cellar.
I won't doubt that. There is a chance that I do smell like a cellar. I do kind of live in a basement.
The damp funk at your place.
Okay, now there's a really good chance that I smell like a cellar. So as my friends, I need all you guys to tell me this stuff, because I go out in public every once in a while.
All right. Well, welcome. You've made the poor choice of listening to Live from the Path here at livefromthepath.org. Or it's Saturday night. It's 7 o'clock on 99.3 KTIA. Thanks for choosing to spend your time with us. I'm glad to spend my time with you. I was waiting for you all night, hoping you would make it. And there you are. God bless you.
I fell asleep on the couch right before coming over.
Yeah, that really sailed the cover. I mean, that's where I was going with it, Dan.
Well,
I feel like I
kind of didn't live up to your whole...
Thanks for...
it's symbiotic how our relationship
is. It's night. I think I'll take
just,
a nap.
I threw it up and you just knocked it down. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. Yeah, I took a nap.
Yeah, I took a nap right before I came in.
I couldn't wait.
So here's what we got going on tonight. Jeff Arendale and the Two-Ton Commons are in the studio. And it's interesting this Tutankhamun name. I thought it was after the Egyptian king. But apparently they all grew up in the same Boston neighborhood, and it was a sandwich that they served at the local deli called the Tutankhamun. And the tagline was, "We have everything on the sandwich except for an Egyptian king." It was very clever. But anyway, that's the background of the name of Jeff Arundel and the Tutankhamun.
How do you spell that?
I didn't grow up in Boston, Aaron.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know all these. I don't know all this information.
From the same neighborhood. Yeah. Let me call my mom.
How do you spell Tutankhamun?
So Jeff's in studio, and we're going to hear a couple songs from him and catch up. He's got some exciting news coming up in April, and so lots of fun stuff in Jeff's world. So we're going to check in with him. We're also on. We're working through the 50 proofs from GodIsImaginary.com. The 50 proofs that God is imaginary. We're on proof number 35, and this week's proof is notice Jesus myopia, and it wasn't some kind of eye disease or something that we were talking about last year or last week. It's not that. So okay. Jesus is
kinda
all right.
Sounds like a pain. Right.
So we're going to talk about his proof that God doesn't exist is focused on the premise of notice Jesus's myopia. So we'll walk through that, and so far God is 34-0. But we'll give him another shot. At 35, we'll see how proof number 35 goes, see if God is indeed imaginary. There's a couple things in the news that I wanted to get to, some interesting stuff going on this week. Here's the deal. I lined up some Pope-style advice, but then we resigned.
Yeah.
And so I feel like but the office of the Pope isn't going away.
Okay.
Right? So it remains, right? So we can still give out Pope-style advice.
Well, yeah, we can give out Pope-style advice. We just can't we can't do it with this Pope.
It's not the same guy.
It's us.
Okay. All
right. We're
so
good.
Do you have any Pope-style advice, Booba?
Not right now, but maybe in the next 10 minutes I'll think of something.
I feel like stuff that is worthy of Pope-style advice can be thought of in just a few minutes. So, yeah. Put the thinker on it.
All right, I will.
And real quick, just a real quick shout-out to our sponsors. We would not be on what I could consider legitimate radio without some lovely sponsors. Valley Services, you can find more information about them by going to valleyservices.net for all your residential and commercial cleaning needs. On Purpose Promotions, they do promotional material. They got us up some hats, some stocking hats. Booba wears that around.
Absolutely.
So they do all the promotional work for the show. They can do promotional work for you if you're putting together some kind of a race or something. Your team's you're going to enter something into like a race for the cure or some other nonprofit thing. You need some shirts printed together. Jared Roy at On Purpose Promotions can help you out. Go to onpurposepromos.com if you're going to do it right, and get a hold of Jared at onpurposepromos.com. Also, the Eisenhower team. These guys, Bill and Bob Eisenhower, they're realtors here in the area. Mike's bought and sold for Mike the last time around. Bob's actually helping me look for a house at the moment. It fell through, though. It's not his fault. But I had a real sweet one on the line. And then someone paid the appropriate price for it when I had offered significantly less than what was appropriate.
I hate it when that happens.
Always happens.
I don't really
I
have
love
a way
the house.
To be
here's half the money. That you
want. Yeah. I feel like you know they take much less than I would take, and I thought, well, that seems fair. but Bob will warn you about such things and say that's not a good idea, and then you're going to do it anyway.
I sold a house once years ago, and somebody offered us the amount, and I was insulted, and the gal's like, "What's your response?" I said, "I have no response." She's like, "No, well, what do we say to him?" "I don't care."
Anything.
I have no response.
Pull it out of a hat.
And like 3 years later, I still own two houses. I sold it for pretty much that same amount to somebody else. I wasn't desperate yet, though.
Did you end up sending a response back to him? Like, "Hey,
sorry about that. You were saving a couple renters and a lot of remodeling." And
okay.
Yeah, it was bad.
Pope-style advice is focused on house pride. Humble yourself. Take a lower power. they're great guys to work with. They're easy to work with. Hard to beat. Go to EisenhowerTeam.com. And also, Capanas Coffee and Gelato in Ames on Lincoln Way. Get yourself a good cup of coffee, man. Go in there. The Pam and Dave, they're great folks. They're graciously supporting the show and kicking out sweet coffee and gelato. And you can't really beat that. So go check them out the next time you're cruising Lincoln Way and Ames.
Absolutely.
And here's the deal. I'd love it if you support these guys because they're supporting us. At the very least, give them a call, shoot them an email, say thanks for keeping Life from the Path on the air because no legitimate folks would put us on if someone wasn't paying for it. You know what I'm saying? Something to think about.
You're right.
Okay.
That is absolutely true.
let's get to the more legitimate folks. Jeff Arundel.
Good evening.
And the Three Whips.
There's four of them tonight.
Well, that makes the name kind of silly, don't you think? Yeah. All right, so I tell you, tell us. So Jeff is the longest or the most consecutive running guest on the Life in the Path program. He has the most visits of anybody, except
you're right.
Yeah, yeah. Congratulations, Jeff.
Yeah, is that a sign of desperation?
It's something to be said.
You win Ode de Booba. You win a jar of Ode de Booba. Yeah, yeah.
It's a lot like being a host of Saturday Night Live. You know,
like
it's a big
if
honor,
our house didn't smell bad enough, we're going to have Ode de Booba. Well, at least it's somebody else's smell, I guess.
Fair enough.
So Jeff, tell us a little bit about what's going on in your world.
Well, I'm very excited. I get to go back to Nashville the first week of April, and I guess I tricked them. No, I did well enough the last time with the last project, Not Here For Me, that I've been invited to come back. And it's really exciting because going to a little bit, I'm told, a little bit bigger studio.
Wait, is that important?
I don't know.
You need a lot of space in there, Jeff?
Apparently you do.
We're like to spread out. Yeah.
But, you know, I think I told you last time, the drummer that I had was the drummer for Vince Gill, and the keyboard player he had was, he plays on for the Grand Ole Opry all the time. Couldn't get either of those guys to come back, but I found out tonight that the drummer will be Reba McEntire's drummer.
Oh.
So,
wait,
I don't know.
Like current drummer, or they had a spat and he's no longer allowed on tour with Reba?
I don't know. Maybe he's like, I don't know, gets the weekend off or something.
Okay,
so,
cool.
Or he heard that Jeff
Reba's Arendelle, pretty gracious with her weekend.
Yeah.
Something to think about, Booba, if you're looking for a gig.
So, yeah, get to do that first weekend of April. And
so now, is there a theme to this next CD, like something that you think describes what you're going for?
You know, I don't think so, except it's songs that I've never recorded before. So is that a theme? Is that a legitimate? Maybe I should call the CD that.
Songs Never Recorded Before by Jeff Arendelle.
That's
classic.
So, I like it a lot.
That
honor God. I'm in some way.
I like the sound of this.
Dreams I never had. I wrote something.
Oh man. But,
well,
yeah,
well, cool. That should be fun. Yeah. So how long do you got it? Is it a week?
No, it's a weekend.
Oh, weekend.
Yeah, just a weekend. So it's get it in and out.
Get it in and out.
Yeah.
Are you sleeping in the studio? Home hobo
nope,
style?
Nope, not doing that. I'm going to get a small room under a bridge that's nearby in that area. Yeah, just the whole experience.
Call it the Muse. I'm with you.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, going to do that. I'm hoping to record, what's the song that we wrote?
Most High.
Most High. We'll get Most High down.
All right.
A lot of people really like that song, and so... Yeah. That one and some others.
I feel like it's whatever you put down isn't going to beat the live Most High that went down in the Life in the Past studios. Because, I mean, that was a solid tune.
That, yeah.
Except halfway through the video, there's a guy taking pictures with his cell phone. Like,
oh, I know,
in front
it comes
of the
through
camera.
In the camera. Kind of creepy.
Was that me?
That's a high-class show right there. Guy with a cell phone camera.
Ooh, that is pretty.
I think it was you, as a matter of fact.
It probably was, yeah. It's my job to produce media. Well, I tell you what. So, like the Almighty is that one going to make the is that going to make
I'm
the
cut? I'm hoping so. Yeah, and I've not sent all the songs yet for consideration, but it's one of them that I'm going to send for consideration. So,
well, sweet. Well, yeah. I tell you what. Let's get a taste of that. Tell me a little bit about the song.
Almighty is a song that's written around Revelation 15, where it talks about it's a glimpse of some things that are going on in heaven during the end times. And it just talks about, it gives imagery of heavenly beings worshiping the Lord, gathering around the throne, and it's written around that.
All right. Well, let's hear it. This is Almighty. You're listening to Jeff Arendelle on Live from the Path. Thank you.
sovereign Lord and your glory is beyond our understanding.
Spicy one.
Well, yeah, thank you.
I love that song. I really do.
Yeah.
I heard you guys do that a couple weeks ago, and it was just like, it just really resonates. I like it.
Yeah, good. Thank you. Thank you.
What are your thoughts, Booba? Did you try to sing along with it?
If I would have had the words, I definitely would have been singing along with it. I love that. That was really upbeat. I love, like, all this acoustic. I love all the music that you guys just did. That was great.
Good. Well, thank
Seriously,
you.
Seriously, I'm over here jamming with my feet kicking and everything. Hand drumming on my knees and everything. It was awesome.
I think one of the things that strikes me in that passage is just how God models or shows us what worship of him looks like or mm-hmm. what it should look like or can look like and even gives us some of the obviously the words to use in praising him. So
yeah.
It was really neat to write that song just using those exact or a lot of the exact same thoughts and words even.
I often will just try to contemplate the whole holy thing, you know. The holy means set apart, and in Scripture, when it's any word is used twice or three times in a row, it's really emphasizing it. You know, I just kind of think that through. He's set apart, you know, above everything, and it's just hard to really wrap your arms around like that sometimes.
Yeah,
and grasp it. I have to remind myself here, just all the time. You know, it's like
and one of the traps I fall into is just how. Not that I'm not worthy, but I'm just so not worthy, really, not yeah, worthy yeah. of being in his presence. Yet we are allowed to be in his presence by by what Christ did for us,
mm-hmm.
you know, and by his shed blood, we're even able to be in the sight of somebody as holy as yeah. God is. So
yeah.
Mm. Even to think that God would delight in the praises of his people. When you feel barely worthy to even mention anything about it, you know, it's a pretty deep difference between how you know you would think about it. And that's putting God in the right position, but it's you know really comforting to think you know like you know God loves that to hear the praises yeah. of his people going up.
Yeah.
Huh?
And how more amazing it is to contemplate how much yeah. that he would love us.
Yeah.
You know, and go ultimately to the cross for us. I mean,
yeah.
Really? I mean, honestly, what was he thinking?
Yeah.
You know.
I can't get my wife to enjoy my company most of the time. And God looks down and goes, I dig it.
Yeah.
I had to fix you a little bit. I had to pay for that and that and that.
For me. Yeah. We have to light a candle when I'm in your presence.
Yeah. What is this ode to Booba?
Ode to Booba.
I didn't create that. all right. you can find more information about Jeff by going to jeffarendale.com. And check out. Hey, you can sign up for reminders. You
yes.
get reminders when he's got shows coming up. It's a day before. I mean, you gotta keep your calendar open if you're expecting the Jeff Arundel reminders to get you to the joint. Because I mean,
well, yeah. I'm on Facebook as well, so I try and let people know. You know, that's one thing too. I try not to overdo it because it's like people don't want to be bothered by that stuff. But I don't know. You know, I got to know somehow, I guess.
Well, you know, here's the way I look at it, is that if
Dude, I was looking for some advice.
No, here's how I look. I'm totally willing to bother somebody. Because If the especially with Facebook, right, and even email newsletters and stuff, like they signed up. I mean, right. It's just as easy to sign up and as it is to like get rid of it and unsubscribe. So I mean, if you don't like it, totally cool. It doesn't mean I got to change my ways. Just you know, it's the principle of if you don't like the show, change the channel. That's why no one watches our program.
All right, exactly.
They choice of it now. Choice of option. all right. Actually, Jeff brings people. People do watch it when Jeff's on. I've noticed a trend in our shows. Like if I look at the YouTube channel, it'll show like the trend lines of our shows. And when we have a guest on, a good guest, right, it goes like this. When we have a normal show, it goes down in the valley. We're on our own, fellas. We're the valley.
We're pretty much.
You know, and I don't get that because truthfully, you know, no kidding it intended. You guys are good.
I agree.
We tell ourselves that every week.
Yeah. We're incredible. We don't understand it either.
You're in your top five.
Yeah. If only the Lord would send someone worthy of the show in. you're listening to Live from the Path. Hey, shoot, the chat's already leaving. all right, let's... again, we have discerning listeners. let's look at the proof. This is proof number 35 from the 50 proofs that God is imaginary. Looking at GodIsImaginary.com. Proof 35 is notice Jesus' myopia. I'm going to read it. You soak it in and then respond appropriately because we should be able to provide a defense, reason for the hope that we have. For a man like this who believes God does not exist and is using this as one of the reasons, we should be able to speak to it. So let's see how we do. Proof number 35. If you think about Jesus, you realize that his biggest problem is an incredible case of myopia. We can see this myopia quite clearly as we look back at Jesus' time on earth. The obvious question that any intelligent person is forced to ask is this. If Jesus is God, then why didn't Jesus use his omniscience and omnipotence to actually do something magnificent and beautiful on earth rather than squandering his power as he does in the Bible? Think about all the problems that Jesus could have solved. At the very least, Jesus could have transcribed passages into the Bible that would have ended sexism, racism, and slavery forever. As the simplest example, think of all the suffering that slavery has caused. Millions upon millions of people have suffered through the bondage and the remarkable brutality of slavery because Jesus and his Bible fully support it. If Jesus had simply made a clear statement, "Slavery is forbidden, free all the slaves," he could have prevented all of that suffering. Yet Jesus did nothing of the sort. Instead, Jesus endorsed slavery. In the same way, Jesus could have chosen women to be six of his apostles and made several speeches on the topic of women's equality. By doing that, he would put a huge dent in sexism. Because Jesus did not do that, we still see the effects of Jesus' sexism in our society today. At a larger level, if Jesus were God, he could have performed so many real miracles. He could have, for example, eliminated smallpox and a host of other diseases that science is busy eliminating. Jesus could have given the people of Israel the knowledge that they would need to start a technological society and raise themselves above the primitive living conditions of the day. Jesus could have taught the Israelites about metallurgy, chemistry, biology, physics, manufacturing, mathematics, medicine, engineering, etc., etc., comma, etc. He also could have taught them how to responsibly use these technologies to solve the problems of pollution and habitat destruction that so often accompany them today. Jesus could have made clear statements to deter nuclear proliferation. Think about that, Boova. The argument could be made that Jesus did try to solve poverty when he said that you should sell everything you own and give it to the poor. However, in saying this, Jesus showed a complete misunderstanding of human nature. No doubt. Do you know of anyone who has sold all their possessions and given the money to the poor? As a result, half the people on planet Earth today live in abject poverty, supporting themselves on less than $3 per day. Instead, Jesus could have taught mankind to effectively share wealth so that the immense problem of global poverty that we see today would have been solved long ago. Jesus could have also laid down a template for governance that would have ended monarchies, dictatorial regimes, and warlords forever. Most importantly, Jesus could have made his message so clear and the proof of his godliness so obvious that all 6 billion people on the planet would have aligned with him rather than fragmenting into dozens of bizarre and often warring religions. By doing this, Jesus could have completely prevented the Crusades and 9/11, among other things. Jesus, here's the end, if he actually were God, could have done so much. He could have prevented massive amounts of human suffering with his words and deeds. Instead, he did none of this. To any rational person, these problems make it painfully obvious that Jesus was a normal human being. The fact that Jesus was a normal human being renders the entire New Testament of the Bible meaningless, and in the process shows us that the God of the Bible is completely imaginary. 40 love. You're up, Dan. What are your thoughts?
Okay. We were just talking about the holiness of God. That's kind of what went through my mind reading this. Here's a guy who... this atheist dude who is thinking everything in his small little world, the social issues of his moment, of his life, of his generation. Some of these have been multi-generational. They've been around for a while. Not all of them. And he's saying, why didn't Jesus solve all these little petty things? Okay. God is holy. Holy, holy. He's bigger. He's got bigger motives. He's got bigger plans. Jesus came with really one thing in mind. He did not come. He did not heal everybody. He healed a lot of people, but he did not come to heal. He did not come to be a great teacher. He did not come to be a really nice guy. He came not to prepare people so much for this life, although this life is, our lives are all enhanced by following him. He came to prepare them for eternity. Who cares if poverty's gone if they all still go to hell on their sins? You know, that's not what he came for. He came to forgive sins. He came to seek and save the lost, and including the man who wrote this article. Okay, we don't have a nuclear war, and we don't have poverty, and we're all socialists, and you know, all the stuff he wants us to be. It doesn't matter. God has a bigger view. He had a bigger purpose for coming than to make us more comfortable in our lifestyle. He came to give us an eternity. So he misses that whole entire point in his argument. So,
Buva,
that's my thought.
By eliminating all these problems and eliminating all of these situations that we deal with today, creating an essential utopia for society as we know it, as we live it, diseases being gone, nuclear wars being completely taken care of, all poverty being taken care of, everyone happy-go-lucky living in a great world. I think that honestly eliminates the concept of faith. It eliminates the concept of truly clinging to God in your times of trouble, truly clinging to God as your Lord and Savior. Who needs a Lord and Savior if everything's perfect? If everything's happy, what's the point of believing in God? Because, I mean, what's better than a world without war, than a world without poverty, than a world without disease? We're living wealthy. We're living happy. Why would we even worry about heaven? Why would we worry about our salvation? It makes absolutely no sense to even think about that.
Well, I don't know. I feel like we might be missing it a little bit, right? Because like one of the basic premises that I completely disagree with him on is that Jesus didn't speak to the things that he said are a problem.
Well, yeah, that's on top of it. He did speak to all these things,
right? You know what I'm saying? It's just like yeah. You know, if people were following the tenets of Christ, right? Loving God and loving people like Jesus has set out for them to do, serving each other based upon the preaching of Christ. Yeah, the slavery as he describes it wouldn't be a problem. Mm-hmm. Sexism is not going to be a problem.
He doesn't need to be a petty politician who has so X number of women on his cabinet. He just needs to say, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. Recognize that everyone is made in the image and likeness of God, which is the reason you're not allowed to treat another human being as if they're worth less than you. You know, and so even the premise is wrong. The thought that Jesus didn't speak to these things based upon the broad principles of how to behave, I think he completely misses this. He wants it speaks to the kind of you want to talk about myopia of our minds, where I have to say, don't do this specific minor thing, right? As opposed to saying, hey, are you loving each other? Are you serving each other? Right? That actually covers. But we don't want to hear that. We want to have, he didn't specifically say that I couldn't treat someone like total crap in this particular situation, and so maybe I'm allowed to, right? Mm-hmm. That's not right. I mean, that's not, so if the myopia exists, it exists here. Jesus is speaking way more on a macro level, and this guy's expected Jesus to get into the weeds when, like, he already talked about how to form the planet. The weeds fall under the category.
Yeah.
And so, Even the base level, I mean, what he's doing here is he's picking the things that would most likely to piss somebody off, right?
Slavery, sexism, it's terrible. Jesus didn't stop any of that. But like, and let's say he did for that generation. Well, the next generation would have started it back up.
Oh, yeah. So this is the best part. Most importantly, Jesus could have made his message so clear and the proof of his godliness so obvious that all 6 billion people on the planet would have aligned with him. Now, let's assume, for example, that everything that Jesus said he did happened, and that people actually saw it. So let's have this guy take the position of what the Bible records, right? The demonstration is that people still don't follow him, right? This comes from a spot that says the things that he did were not, or that the Bible says he did were not true, and that's why no one believed it, right? But the Bible presents a very plausible, what I would call, you know, true scenario in which he does do these things, and people are still like, nah. And they're that way for their own motivations, right? Because the motivation to follow Christ makes them give up the worldly status they have, makes them give up the things that they soaked their life into, makes them give up the power that they didn't earn or ultimately deserve. And, you know, and they're saying they're choosing between the worldly stuff and the heavenly stuff. And in the exact example that this guy's given, and they're saying, well, I'll take the world. Well, I mean, based upon the picture of the world that this man's painted, that seems like a pretty foolish choice, right? Mm-hmm. But it's the real choice. It's what happened. Jesus came. He did the thing. He did the miracle. So the people, I mean, it certainly had some heft. People go, okay, yeah, yeah, I kind of see what the guy's saying. He's got my attention, right? And people saw it. They saw it with their own eyes, and they said, nope, yep. I'll pass. This guy's a threat to me. He's a threat to my power. He's a threat to the power of my people. We need to do something about it. He's gonna upset the governor.
Right.
Glory, let the governor be upset, right?
Exactly.
And so, you know, this is one of his worst. It's one of his worst because I feel like it's not even substantiated in any type of logical thought. It presumes things that aren't true. It completely ignores the broad teachings of Christ as if they don't speak to these things. Every one of these things that he's concerned about, I would consider abhorrent behavior by people. People treat each other poorly. People put each other and accept that other people have put themselves in poor circumstances and they manipulate it for their own benefit, just like they did in Jesus' time, just like they're doing today. That's not condoned behavior by Christ. The Bible's pretty clear that some people are going to be pretty surprised when they get to the gates and God's like, no. Lord, Lord, I don't know you.
Yeah.
You know, sorry. and it's the guy who says, "Yeah, I believe in Christ," and then completely ignored everything he taught.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was riled up and I knocked off the camera. Booba, look like me while I fix it. Go
get some glasses.
Do a bend face.
Give me
this
hat.
Better not be insulting.
Give me
okay, now you're listening to Live from the Path. We're walking through. Jeff, did you have anything? Anything stick out on this proof for you?
Oh my goodness, you know. Yeah, uninformed. You know, I hate to be critical of the guy's thoughts.
That's just the nature of the discussion.
Yeah.
I think he's being pretty critical of yours.
This is number 35. So. Yeah, that's right. You know, I guess I've always just heard and believed and understood that Jesus is love and not the creator of all the bad things in the world. You know, also, too, in those things that he talks about, God is honored and glorified, and God uses those things to develop our character to be more Christ-like. So I don't always, I mean, yeah, slavery is bad, and yeah, racism is bad, and yeah, you know, discrimination or whatever is bad, but it does give us opportunity to develop our character to be more Christ-like, and we know what Christ's character looks like. So shame on us if we're not doing that, and certainly we're not perfect. Thank God he knows that. But I guess that's another way that I look at those criticisms that he has, that Jesus is not God. So,
That God is imaginary?
Sorry, God is imaginary.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I thought your ending point was, Jesus is not God. Take that. I thought, well, that's kind of the opposite of what we're going for.
Sorry.
We've gone over that
you
a couple times already.
You know, I had a microphone for, you know, 5 seconds, and, you know, you may not want to do that again. Note to self.
It's all right. They give me a microphone, so you're fine.
Don't put Jeff on the spot. I'm with you. Okay. Well, so that was proof number 35. I'm going to have to give that one to God.
Yeah, I think God wins that one.
Thank God is not imaginary. Here's the deal with this one. Normally, I like to look at the stuff that this guy says and try to recognize that it's coming from someone who just simply doesn't believe the same way I do. And I get that. But, like, the perspective on this one isn't the same as someone, you know, like, I really question the things that you believe and how you carry in your life, right? Is the direct affront as if the teachings of Christ were insincere or incapable of handling the problems that this world exists. And what he's talking about is not a, I've seen what God has to offer and I reject him as not true, but it simply is I am uninformed and I choose to be uninformed or my guess is actually chosen ignorance because he actually quotes quite a bit of scripture. My guess is he Googles things other people have thought and said God was wrong in X and then sees what comes up and then argues with it. But, like, you know, this represents a complete ignorance, I think willful, of what the Bible says and misrepresents God intentionally. And that's different than, I think, that someone that approaches and said, look, I don't know. There are people that are that lack the faith simply because they're unexposed or they feel like they've been unexposed or just they don't care. But this is a little different to me. And that's why this – I know the tone of this one was a little bit worse than I think some of the other ones that we've gone through so far with him. So.
Now, my apologies. I haven't been following, you know, all 35 mm-hmm. Of these. But is there like a little bit of a parallel? I mean, is this Paul, you know, before? Is this – or Saul before? I mean, is this guy going to get struck by lightning or something? I would be worried if – well, I mean, maybe he wouldn't be worried, but
– maybe when we get to 50.
Yeah, maybe there's a magic number.
He'll say, "Oh, whoops." I've not looked ahead.
You know, he's pretty par for the course when it comes to like new atheism. It's just a total rejection of biblical, of any semblance of biblical truth. It is scientism. It is yeah, like there's no redeeming quality to religion in general, and God is not only just a harmless myth, but he's a force for evil in the world. And for people that follow him, that's pretty much what he represents in the argument. Some of which I think are completely reasonable questions that I think people of the faith even struggle to understand. Mm-hmm. The premise, anyway, how he goes about it, I would disagree with. But like, you know, I think he has questions about prayer that frankly I think come up in anybody's mind reasonably. He just takes it the you know, one way represents that it's a total farce and it's ruining the world. And one is a connection to the created universe. So he's an interesting cat, I sympathize with atheist arguments, actually, because I feel like sometimes God is misrepresented in that the things can't be explained when they really can. This one's just taking on a little bit more of a aggressive tone than otherwise I appreciate from our. Our proofs. So anyway, that's proof 35. Next week we will hit proof number 36. Ooh, this is a good one. Proof number 36. We'll talk about this next week. Realize that God is impossible. Here's the kind of the opening salvo. If you consult the dictionary, here's the first definition of God that you will find: a being conceived as the perfect, omnipotent, omniscient originator and ruler of the universe, the principal object of faith and worship in monotheistic religions. Most believers would agree with this definition because they share a remarkably clear and consistent view of God. Yes, there are thousands of minor quibbles about religion. Believers express those quibbles in dozens of denominations, blah, blah, blah. But the heart of it all, the belief in God aligns on a set of core ideas that everyone accepts. But what if you were to simply think about what it would mean if there were a perfect, omnipotent, omniscient originator and ruler of the universe? Is it possible for such a being to exist? In other words, if you sit and think about God, who God is supposed to be, you realize that such a being is impossible, ridiculous, in fact. So that's that's the proof for next week, proof number 36. We'll see if we can handle that one. See, now here's the deal. As I look at that one, I think I actually find that one to be a little bit more reasonable of a question. Because where I'm at is either God is who he said he is, the Bible is an inspired word of God and it's true, Or I'm a fool and God is fake. I mean, there's not really a mid-ground for me. And so, like, I'm actually a little bit more likely to sympathize with the God is impossible discussion because that's the only other optional parameter on my line than, like, all these, like, the half beliefs, the half, you know, God is, like, somewhat powerful and he does some things, but he's not capable of other things because he never learned the chicken dance. You know, like, whatever other things, like, minor things that you want to take away from God's power. So we'll see how that one shakes out. I'm kind of excited for that one. That's proof number 36. You're listening to Live from the Path. You can find us every week here at livefromthepath.org, Monday nights at 10 p.m. for the live show. You can check out the website during the week for clips from the show, including past clips from Jeff Arendale and the tremendous twosome. The Deuteronomy Dan clip is up. That was where we give you – Dan basically provides laws, and you need to decide whether they are laws out of the Old Testament law or whether Dan has just made them up. And that's you can play Deuteronomy Dan under the game section along with Secular and Solomon and lots of other fun stuff going on. Yeah. I tell you what else is out there, and it seems like it's not the timely part of the year, right? But Jeff and band held the fort at our Christmas extravaganza, and it was an awesome show. And the Christmas extravaganza is sitting out there on the website. And I'll tell you this: the first three tunes, Christmas or otherwise, are solid any time of year. I was listening to that Christmas extravaganza earlier today. And it's, it's the thing. It's the thing to listen to.
What a great opportunity that was. Beautiful. I mean, you guys ordered the snow in perfectly.
It was pretty.
You know, and you could tell it was a God thing, too, because they didn't unlock the building until, 15 minutes before the show was supposed to start?
Yeah, it was early.
Yeah.
It was significantly late. We did not get in very early. But
God made it come together. I mean, that's my point is. It was fantastic.
He was definitely
great job by you guys.
Well, thank you. We're excited about the event. We'll be doing something similar coming up this year. So, I was excited about that.
Keep him away from the power strip over there.
I may have unplugged the piano during the middle of the show, along with all the monitoring equipment. a slight miscalculation on my part.
But you know what? It was joyfully done. I mean, you were clearly excited about what was happening and were just caught up in the moment, right? I mean, is that what it was?
Yeah, it was good. The whole thing was awesome. Anyway, you can check that out on the website, and please do. Please do. Okay, Jeff, let's tell me a little bit about Certainty. Now, this isn't you've recorded this one before. Are you going to give it another round? Or?
Well, it's just kind of resurfaced. I've been thinking lately about just the beauty in God's certainty and as it relates to our salvation. And I was just mindful of my wife, Linda, and just how far she's seen, how far she's grown, how far she's come as a Christian, you know, in the last... Well, I guess it's been 18 years now. No, 15 years now that she's been a Christian. And I just remember early in her salvation, how she struggled with, after she'd committed her life to Christ, after she became a Christ follower, it was still very difficult for her to grasp the fact that that was all she had to do in order to have her sins forgiven. It was just to surrender and to ask Christ to come into her heart and basically take over. All this time, or all that time shortly after that, Satan was working on her and saying, well, you know, that's a bunch of malarkey, or look at how bad you were before. How can God possibly forgive you for this, 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 and this? But so it was a bit of a process for her. And this song kind of came a little bit out of that and out of some teaching that I was under at the time. This song is about 10 years old or so, but it's got a nice beat, and people can dance to it. I really like the message. I really like the message. So it's called Certainty. Yeah, and it's on the first CD, the first solo CD called Not Here For Me. So.
Awesome. This is Certainty. You're listening to Jeff Arundale on Live from the Path.
Forever. All I know is I want to be in.
a spicy one.
I was
good stuff. I did sing along to that one. I'm going to be 100% honest.
Boo Boo was throwing elbows over here.
I was getting so jazzed up. Getting down.
He was in the mosh pit.
I was doing all the good
stuff.
Doing
the chicken dance over there.
I did do the chicken dance at one point in time, not during that song, but that was awesome. I was singing along to the chorus. That was a great tune, guys.
Well, thank you.
Good stuff.
Yeah. And I don't know, can I introduce these guys?
Yeah, do
I
it.
Want to make sure their moms know that, you know, they're getting credit for what they're doing here. You, Matt, this is Matt on the bass. I don't know if you can see.
No, Dan's taking the camera back.
Dan's not playing the bass.
Oh.
Dan!
That's your cue.
I thought it was about me.
This is Matt. Matt Wetzel on the bass, and great player. Love Matt. This is Brandon here on the cajon. Been playing with us since last summer. I'm sorry. Good job. And then to my left here is Adam Jones, guitar, and then vocals and shaky things over there is Jason Badger. So thanks a lot, guys, for being here tonight.
It sounded great.
Good. Well, thanks.
And you can again, you can learn more about Jeff by going to jeffarendale.com, and you can pick up Not Here For Me. The CD is available on the website.
It's on the website. It's on Amazon.com now. It's on iTunes now.
Right.
It's on the interweb.
Good stuff.
Exactly.
Nice.
No cuneiform tablets this week. What?
I'm just laughing.
What?
Leave me alone. I'm laughing.
All right. You're the life in the path. I really hope you guys are enjoying the tunes here by Jeff and his band. And I would expect. So, do you got any? Are you going to be out somewhere where people can come check it out anytime soon?
We are taking a bit of a break in March. We've got some open dates. I'm really kind of hoping to get some things, maybe one or two things in March. But I do have my first out of state gig coming up in April. Get to go down to Missouri. So I have no idea what that's going to be like. I've never been that far away from home before with a guitar. So look out.
Got to watch them in Missouri.
Yeah, good people mostly.
I'm sure there are.
But I'm looking forward to that. And the big thing, though, is just getting to go back down to Nashville. So that's primarily the thing it's going to be focused on. So
that'll be fun. I think we'll have a good time.
Yeah. How long will that take between when you do your recording and when you'll have a finished project?
Last time, it took a long time.
About 6 years or something.
Yeah, it was something like that. Yeah. You know, I'm not sure, but hopefully sooner rather than later. I don't know at this point if we'll put down all the tracks, if it'll be two or five in this first go-around, or if it'll be eight. We're still kind of in the, you know, trying to figure things out, what we're going to do, what the plan of attack is. So, I don't know. Who might be ready for Christmas?
All right.
Well, that's just in time.
I think that's just going to be perfect. All right. You're listening to Live from the Path. Oh, man, I tell you what, the show is flying by. Here we go. We got one shot. At Dear Live from the Path. Why is it always got to be about weddings? All right, here we go. Dear Live from the Path. My stepson, Steve, in quotes, is getting married out of town. His fiancée is an only daughter with three brothers, and her family is throwing a large traditional formal wedding. My husband and I have just been informed by Steve's mother that we are to host the rehearsal dinner for the wedding party, their spouses, and out-of-town guests. It will cost thousands of dollars in addition to the cost of us attending the wedding, and we will have to go into debt to pay for it. Is this fair? When we were married, we had a simple wedding. We prepared everything ourselves because it was all we could afford. Should we be expected to fork over money we don't have to feed people we don't know just because the bride's family can afford it through a large formal wedding? Stepmom in Canada, Live from the Path, help me. What are your thoughts, Boova?
All right.
There's your wedding guy right there.
Yeah, so here's the situation.
Call him the wedding planner.
I'm the worst person to talk to about this because of the fact that
I don't care. I don't care whether you have experience or not. Someone's asking for your advice.
It's not about experience. It's the fact that I do not care for large formal weddings.
Give your advice. What is your advice?
If you don't have the money, don't do it.
You have DJ'd large formal weddings.
I have DJ'd gigantic weddings.
What is wrong with you?
I don't know. My dad booked them. Leave me alone.
Okay.
I have DJ'd gigantic weddings with hundreds of people, up to 1,000 people, honestly. I've DJ'd weddings that it's 100 people.
And you ate their food, didn't you?
I did eat their food. And I will be honest, I called my dad afterwards, and we critiqued that food.
Okay, ladies, I got like 1 minute. Help this woman out.
Okay, here's the situation. If you don't have the money, it's not an obligation just because the other family can pay for it. If you can't and you're going to go into debt for that, don't. That's ridiculous.
Hudson?
Yeah, I think you got to be honest. You got to tell them, you know. Now, first of all, it's traditional that they would pay for that.
Uh-huh.
But if you can't, you can't. Just be honest and say, guess what? I'd love to, but we can't.
I agree. Is anybody on the pro, the negative side, where said you just you best pay for it?
Pro going
put
debt.
It together. Take it out an extra job. Come on, she only gets married once. What's the matter with you? Take a couple months of the Mickey D's. Raise the money. No? No one's in?
No.
See if they haven't given their children those fancy birthday parties all those years.
All right. Well, it's a general agreement with the secular who says, no, don't go into debt. Let the bride's family know ASAP. Although you traditionally you're to pay for it, today can be hosted by just about anybody. Yeah. Take that tradition. Hey, you've been listening live from The Path. If you're on 99.3 KTIA, we love you, but we got to let you go. Yeah. If you listen on the internet, hang out. We're gonna continue the show right on, and for you guys hanging out at the podcast. Oh, hey, I drew the winner. Dan Custis wins the hat.
Woo. Dan Custis.
Custis, I'm sending you a free hat. Custis.
He will be styling in that.
Good job.
We'll have to get a picture of him.
You've been listening to Live from the Path on 99.3 KTIA. We'll see you next Saturday at 7 o'clock. Thanks for listening to Live from the Path. Okay, if you're still hanging out on the website, we're still rolling.
Welcome back.
Okay.
Well, what's that cutout thing they do and they take pictures of? Flat Stanley. We'll have to do Flat Dan or something with pictures of him in his hat.
We did a Flat Stanley on here.
I know we did.
Like 2 years ago.
Yeah. Somebody, yeah. Some child sent us in from like Kentucky.
I was going to say, I sent mine to Topeka, Kansas.
That's a way to shoot for the stars.
Yeah. I have family in Topeka, and I thought to myself,
I hope he travels the world.
They have wheat fields in Kansas.
They're the furthest. I think he went to Kansas
Slippers.
City. He went to the Royals stadium. He went to the Capitol building and went to a cornfield, I'm pretty sure. Stanley had a great time in Kansas.
We had a gal send one to us once, and we went all over the place. We spent like a whole day taking pictures, never sent them to her.
What a waste.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, but there was a deadline.
Dan Hudson with Flat Stanley.
That's my life story. I mean, well.
We did do it, but we decided we weren't going to send you the pictures. Sorry.
I think we emailed the teacher, though, and said, here's the pictures, but I know it's past due. She probably got the F.
Yeah, I was going to say, so this person did not get their homework assignment taken care of.
It's not her fault.
It's unfortunate, Dan.
It's mine.
I'm sorry, do I need to separate you two? I mean, you going to be all right?
I think we're going to be just okay.
Okay, I'm just checking. All right, here we go. Oh, man. That's a long one. Okay, here we go. Here's the next one. Dear Life from the Path, the adage, if you don't have anything nice to say, is easier said than done. When I am tired or stressed, I have a tendency to be less tolerant of others' quirks, and sometimes I voice my annoyance. While my opinions do have a basis, I sometimes feel guilty about insulting or hurting the person's feelings. I envy those who are strong enough to not allow the stress of certain situations to affect them. I've never been a believer in killing them with kindness because that seems to enable their behavior. My intolerance is probably due to unhappiness about my own life. So there's a lot of self-diagnosis in here.
I think they already know the answer.
They know exactly what they're coming for.
So how do I allow these annoyances to roll off my back and bite my tongue? From Can't Tolerate Fools in Des Moines. Someone's interacted with you lately, Boova.
I was going to say, if you guys have something to say about me, I mean, it's completely okay just to say it right to my face. So I think I would need to know, is it general annoyance where it's just like something that's annoying to this one person, or it's something that's just generally annoying that they shouldn't be doing at all? If that's the situation, you can tell them without being blatantly mean, saying, hey, you know, this is something that we've noticed that's one of your quirks that you do quite a bit.
This is kind of weird though, because this person couches it as a quirk, which is kind of a nice way of saying something while they're presenting the premise, that I have a tendency to be less tolerant of others' quirks and voice my annoyance, right? Like, when you say it's a quirk, you usually say you chalk it up to being a quirk and you don't say anything.
I was going to say, my quirks are like, I count stairs. Like that
out loud? I hate that about you.
No, I don't count them out loud.
I do that. But I take two. But I count every other one, though.
Oh, I'm not that way.
And then I divide by two.
No, it's...
I'm serious.
I'm weird. I can honestly tell
you...
Then
I play the lotto.
I can tell you in most of the places that I go to on a regular basis how many stairs it is to get up to what floor and down to what floor or wherever I'm going to. It's obnoxious. I just remember it and can't do it. Back to the actual live... Dear Life from the Path. I would say that if this is something where you're just a generally mean person and when you get strung out and everything like that, I understand. You know, it's pretty hard to take care of your temper when you're getting strung out, when you're getting stressed out and everything like that. But at the same time, you can't just go around taking that on everybody. The whole killing with kindness concept makes absolutely no sense because you don't have to sit there and compliment them for this thing that's annoying you. Just don't say anything.
Yeah, you can read right through fake.
know? Yeah.
But I think that's what they're asking for. They're asking for help. How do I control myself? Wasn't that kind of the last line?
Well, I'm patience. I mean, that's something you get through the Holy Spirit.
This is not a surface problem. But if you've self-diagnosed to the newspaper that my intolerance is probably due to unhappiness about my own life, yeah. I feel like you have some deep-seated problems.
Yeah, maybe fix yourself. You need to take care of
some places in your own life. And yeah.
Being before upset, you're worried about your reaction to people's quirks, I think you need to take care of the root of why you're so unhappy.
Like
and
that
maybe,
big log in your own eye.
I mean, it's
hey, I noticed a splinter, Dan.
The premise here is like saying, like, you know, I do have murderous intent, and I often think about harming others. Can you help me to stop tripping the neighbor? Like, that's kind of what we're saying.
Love Adolf.
Yeah. I think we're too worried about tripping. I'm too worried about tripping the neighbor. Let's talk about the murderous intent.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, this person is obviously not a happy person, and, like, if you've included that as part of your thing, I feel like that's the root cause, and, like, anything else is just, like, spackle. All right, you're trying to repair something that's always going to crack and break in a little bit. Why don't you figure out why you're unhappy? You love Jesus. There's a good start.
Yeah,
and then maybe you wouldn't have this deep seated problem with people.
I was going to say you start working on your relationship. Let's introduce this person to Jesus.
Right.
The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace and patience and kindness and gentleness, self control
and counting stairs.
And counting stairs.
The Holy Spirit.
Sometimes
every by two.
Sometimes every other stair. And then
I will send
two.
A helper who will. help you count those
Jesus
stairs.
Helps with math.
Jeff's division skills are much, much better than mine. I'm just going to say it that way.
All right. So, what's the advice? So, to tell you this. Take away that I've diagnosed this person as having severe problems. And just assume someone is just, you just find yourself being annoyed at times. And you know it's not right, but you're still annoyed. Do you have any, like, tips or tricks to try to
memorize
help you get
some
out of
good
it?
Scripture on it and just focus on that when you're annoyed. Rather than focusing on the annoyance, focus on some scripture.
I tell you, and I have a lot of success, even from a parenting perspective, at just subtle distraction, right?
Yeah.
Or like continuing to pursue on when the kid's like, I'm upset. He's like, hey, man, you see that thing right over there?
Look at that spider on your arm.
Hey, totally get it. Like, I love that, dude.
I've got a little bit different take on it just because I'm not going with the whole memorize scripture, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Please do that.
Good job.
No, don't memorize scripture. Go ahead with move.
No, I was
just
going
to take a drink.
This is a different way of taking it, but please do that as well. Trust me. That's much better advice than I'm going to give you. But I've noticed that I can be annoying as all get out. Like, I'm not saying that to make a joke here, but I can be overly talkative. I don't shut up at times.
You're too much to take. You're obnoxious.
I'm too much to take.
I'm with
not
you, yeah.
Just all this different stuff you want to play it on. And I think to myself, you know, if I'm annoyed by somebody else, I try and put myself in their shoes. Like, they're very possibly annoyed with me, too. So if they're going to have patience with me, I'm going to flip it around. I'm going to have patience with them as well. Because if the world can tolerate me for most of the time, I think I can handle somebody's quirks.
Yeah.
Patience is a solid virtue. I tell you that. Like, I remember.
Absolutely.
I remember distinctly when I was, like, 14 or 15. I have a younger brother who's, like, significantly younger than me, like 10 years or whatever. And at some point, I was mature enough at like 15 or so to recognize that, like, I had no patience for this kid. He just annoyed me. He's an annoying dude, right? But I recognized it. I'm like, you were giving this guy, like, no tolerance, no patience at all. And so, and like, within my mind, I said, you know, just be patient. Whatever it takes, be patient with this kid. And it's weird, but, like, even at a young age, like, he recognized it. He told me this, like, recently. He's like, you know, you just had so much patience with me. And it was totally – I had to do it. I had something that I had to think about and do intentionally. Yeah. And, like, I have – I'm pretty good with people, like, with being patient with people. And even though, like, I can feel it coming on, it's like, I wish you'd just stop talking. It's not a good story, Troy.
Yeah, I was waiting for my name. I was waiting for my name.
I thought it was going to be my name.
Oh, no.
Is this song over yet?
It's normally going to be.
How long is this going to go on?
Okay,
with better
mic,
it's normally going to be Troy thrown in there.
But, like, I mean, just, you know, just whatever you have going on is not that important. Whatever you think is coming up is like, if you could trade your seconds, you'd waste more seconds trying to figure out how to trade them than to make the most out of the ones you got.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So just hang out and just be patient with people, listen to their stories.
Sometimes
listen
you just
have to
put yourself in their place. Like you kind of said, like, my daughters were 7 years apart, so there was a little of that, you know, in their life too. And I had to continually remind my oldest daughter, she's acting her age. And then she was like, oh, I guess you're right. Yeah, you did at that age too. Yeah, I've seen the video, you know. Yeah. And then it was kind of a change the
See, I learned some of that too, but it was, and this is not in any way a jab on my older brother, but I learned it from my older brother. And I love him with all my heart. Him and I can get on each other's nerves pretty quickly, and I've learned a lot of patience watching my dad deal with him and myself dealing with him. So, and I'm sure he's learned dealing with me too. So, love you, Trey.
Yeah. All right.
I love you too.
Trey. So here's the here's the secular advice. Deer can't tolerate Troy. One way to do that would be to remind yourself that the more you take your own happiness out on those around you, the more you will isolate yourself. When you are tired or stressed, and before shooting off your mouth, ask yourself, is it true? Is it kind? Is it helpful? And if what you were about to say is not all three, bite your tongue, zip your lip, or walk away until you get a grip. That is a long bumper sticker.
That's like, I think that's right out of like a Bill Gothard, 1979. Is that Gothard? Bill Gothard?
Is it true? Is it kind? Is it helpful? If not, don't say it.
I'm sure, you know, whenever I get annoyed, I like to take an inventory. It's the first thing that pops into my mind. What are some very functional ways? Let me check my book on how
this
I'm supposed to react.
This guy won't stop tapping his foot. Is it true? Is it kind? Is it helpful? All right, let's talk.
And here's the deal. It's like, depending on your frame of mind, I could answer yes to one of those things. Is it true? Oh, yeah, that guy's really making me mad.
And you justify it right there. You don't even go to number two or three.
Is it kind? It would be wrong to let him continue acting that way. I'll tell you this much.
I may have a better reaction than the next guy.
Is it helpful? Sure as heck is. I don't have to deal with him if he stops doing it.
It's helpful for me.
I feel like I can handle these questions to a non-productive end. You're listening to Life from the Path. We are broadcasting every night here at Life from the Path. Monday nights here at Life from the Back Door at 10 o'clock p.m. You can also catch us Sundays on 99.3 KTIA. Check out that show. But it's a truncated show. If you want the full Monty, oh shoot, that's not the right phrase. That's used incorrectly.
That's a whole
the full something. Troy, what do I mean to say?
The full nine yards.
The full nine yards.
The whole nine yards.
The full dinosaur.
The full behemoth.
The full behemoth.
The full behemoth. And Leviathan.
Yeah, I like the Leviathan better. If you're here for the full Leviathan, if you're ready to waste your time while we debate Leviathan versus Beast as to what the show is. Check out the podcast. You're listening to Life from the Path. Have a wonderful week. Thank you, Jeff Arundale and company.
Yes, thanks for having us.
I really like the two-tone comments. I think that's the way to go. You should adopt that backstory. A
couple blocks in Boston.
We don't have advertising on the podcast. I keep doing this all along. Have a wonderful week.